This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
This podcast is in association with Johnson's Baby, who has partnered with Alder Hey Children's Charity to help keep families and tiny babies close in neonatal care. Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by the lovely Danielle, who is a mummy to twin boys, who are absolutely adorable, by the way. I've been following Danielle for a little while on Instagram. And today Danielle is going to share her experience of having her twins prematurely. So welcome, Danielle. It's lovely to have you on the show today and to speak to you again.
Hi, it's lovely to be back again talking about my experiences and everything I love the most.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, because I know when you have premature babies, there's quite a lot of emotion that goes with it. There's a lot of detail. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience. So we really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So how old are your twins now?
They're 3 and a half now.
Oh, yeah. It's a great age, but it's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. The attitude starts to come out.
They're like, what is it? I always say like 3 going on 13. That's the kind of the level I see, because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I know that age very well. And it is like they're becoming a teenager, and it's really quite strange.
It is. And to have two of them at the same time with pretty much the same attitudes. It becomes quite difficult at times.
I can imagine, but it must be great having two of them running around. I mean, most of the time anyway, it must be pretty nice just to have them together. They've always got each other. They've always got a friend. And I just feel like that's my boys are quite close in age anyway. So, yeah. You know, I feel like it's quite nice that they'll grow up together and always have that bestie. That's what I hope anyway. That's what I'm hoping as a mum.
No, definitely.
That's what I hope.
Definitely.
So your twin boys were born premature. Would you mind giving us a little bit of information about your experience, how your birth went?
Yeah, so the boys were born, we was meant to get to around 32 weeks, but I went in at 29 and 5 days for a scan, which is just, it was usual for me. I had a consultant who I saw 2 to 3 times a week throughout my whole pregnancy. And I remember going to her for the scan to see how we were getting on. And it was usually to check on Teddy, because he had quite a few problems with him. And she was having loads of difficulty. And I was thinking in my head, I don't really understand what's going on here. And then she said, oh, I just need to lay you back a bit. So she laid me back on the bed, and I had a really overwhelming feeling. I don't know what it was that came across me, but I looked at my partner and I said to him, she's going to deliver today. And then she literally looked at me and cried, because we had formed such an amazing bond with her. You know, we did see her for 7 months, 2 to 3 times a week. She just cried and said, I really need to deliver them. But unfortunately, Teddy was only showing at 575 grams, so they couldn't deliver.
So tiny.
I know. They couldn't deliver him at my hospital that I'd been scanned and prepared to, you know, have them there for. We had done all the tours of the neonatals, and we were really ready for them to be brought into the world at this hospital. And it got to the point where she gave me an option. She said, I will try London hospitals. And I said, look, if you can get out of London, it would be great, because it's, you know, super difficult getting in there. So it ended up a hospital called Queen Alexandra in Portsmouth, you know, like it's around 75 miles away from home. They said,
it's a long way, isn't it? A long way.
Yeah. It is. And they said, we can deliver her. So they put me back on the magnesium drip, got me into an ambulance and blue lighted me to the hospital. When I got there, there was some complications with getting my bloods. And by the time they came around to see me again, it was like gone midnight. I had to have nurses sat on my bed monitoring the heartbeats, especially of Teddy, because his you know, his blood flow was quite absent. And then they just said to me, you know, we're going to deliver in the morning, which I felt great about because I had a fresh set of eyes. You know, everyone was brand new onto shift. And yeah, they came down in the morning and took me down. And it was a emergency cesarean, but it was super chilled. I know some emergency cesareans are like really, really emergency rushed. And I know mine was an emergency and they did need to get them out, but they'd done so much monitoring that it was just, I was super anxious. You know, I didn't know whether the babies were going to survive or it was just really, really chilled out. And, you know, we had to have two of everyone in there. So the team in the theatre was just ginormous. And then you had to have all the neonatal staff in there as well to make sure that they could do everything they needed with the boys. So yeah, it was
a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A lot. So you were suddenly you was at this appointment, and then all, even though you kind of had this, I guess, an instinct, all of a sudden you was kind of popped in an ambulance, taken miles and miles away from home, and then told, right, that's it, we're gonna you're gonna have your babies, basically.
Yeah. And it was hard because I wasn't prepared. Like, I like to be organised. I hadn't left work yet. I was still working. I didn't have my hospital bag ready. I didn't have the baby's bag ready because I didn't know what the outcome would be for them. I didn't pack anything because I was just, I don't know, just really scared of what was going to happen. So it was just a bit of a mad day.
Of course. And the thing is, even if you had fully prepared, I don't think anything can prepare you to suddenly being whisked miles away from home to have your babies early. I just feel like that's just not something you really, it's not something you kind of think about as such, is it? It's not a,
yeah,
it's not what you read about in the, you know, it's not what you read about when it comes to having babies.
No.
So you had an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And the twins arrived, and then what were they? Well, what was the situation after that? How were they?
So I imagined, you know, when you have a C-section, they bring the babies out and they lift them up, and it's that whole Lion King moment where everyone's like, oh wow, the baby's here. They put them on your chest. Mine couldn't have been more opposite. Teddy was the first baby to be born. His umbilical cord snapped from his placenta when they delivered him, because he only had one vein and one artery in his umbilical cord my whole pregnancy, which meant he didn't get enough blood flow to him, and he also didn't get a great share of the placenta. When they took him out, his umbilical cord was just a mess. It completely snapped off, and you know, we're really fortunate that they caught it at the right time. I didn't see him. They took him, you know, put all the tubes in him and stuff, and I just didn't see him. Ronnie, they then delivered him a minute later. They lifted him up just a tiny bit, but you know, I was so anxious and paranoid about everything that was going on. They just took him away again. They then whisked the boys up to the neonatal unit, which was, I think, one or two floors above us. And then I didn't actually see them until they were a day old. They were both intubated at birth. Because they both had respiratory issues, which is quite common with premature babies. I actually sent my mum, my husband and his mum up to the neonatal unit to meet the boys, because I just couldn't get out of bed. I had had no sleep and I was just exhausted. It was really lovely though, because the neonatal department at QA, they take pictures of the babies and they put them in like these really cute little frames, and then they bring them to you. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now on my side. They've got,
do you know what, it's just such a, just that what you're saying is just, when you see that picture, it must just bring so much back for you as well.
Yeah, like, they've got these little white caps on to hold the intubation tubes in their mouths. And we actually still have the little white knitted hats now. They're tiny. Yeah, so it was really difficult not seeing them, but I'm forever grateful that they're here.
Of course. And I didn't have twins and they weren't premature, and my son wasn't premature, but when I had an emergency C-section with my first son, and everything you're saying, I just feel like I can so emotionally relate to the moment where you have your babies delivered, which is an amazing relief when you hear like that first cry, or you just, they say everything's okay. But I didn't get to hold my son either. And
yeah.
I didn't even really get to see him. I just remember seeing, like, he was very, very pale. I could just see him in the distance because I'm laying down flat, kind of just trying to remain as calm as possible.
Yeah.
And I see him in the corner, and then they kind of show him to me as they whiz him out the room.
Yeah.
And it's the most bizarre feeling, you know, because on one hand, you're so grateful that your baby has been delivered, that they're here, that they're now being looked after. But I felt this real kind of, I almost felt a bit numb.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like, maybe it was shock or trying to remain calm. And obviously then you go into recovery. And like you said, I didn't see my son for like a day either, because I just couldn't stand up. But there's so many emotions that come with it. And just for anyone that's listening, because when I had a baby, when they said they were going to take him to the neonatal ward, I didn't even know what that was. I'd never heard of it before. So it's basically like an intensive care for babies, isn't it? That's basically what it is. And because I didn't even know what that term meant, I was like, where's he going? Where are they taking him? I knew he was safe, but I was like, well, where is he actually going?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it is such a strange moment when this baby or two babies you've been carrying for all this time are suddenly whisked away from you. It's such a strange feeling. So when your little ones were born then, I know you said that the youngest one, oh, the eldest one?
Yeah, he's the eldest smallest, yeah. But the oldest, yeah.
Yeah, the eldest one had some difficulties during pregnancy. And obviously they were born very early. So how was their health afterwards? How, when they were born and they were in the neonatal unit, how did that transpire?
So Ronnie, the bigger twin, but the younger twin, he actually got off most of his breathing help quite quick. He was, you know, really good, and then started feeding really well. Teddy, however, he really struggled with his breathing. Teddy was actually on oxygen until he was 6 months old. We also really struggled with reflux with him. They both had reflux, but Teddy's was really, really bad, to the point where he would stop breathing sometimes. And, you know, all the nurses would rush over to his bed and you'd think, oh my God, what's happening? Like the beeps from neonatal never go away. The only other problem we had with Teddy was a hernia, which is, it's really common in premature babies. So he had that removed at 3 months. But other than that, it was just literally his breathing we struggled with. It took us ages to get him off of the oxygen. But
got it.
They like to do it slowly.
Instead of
just rushing him off. But actually looking at him now, I completely forget the days that he was on oxygen. At the time when they came home, we were living in our flat. So, you know, it was a bit crowded anyway of all four of us in there. But having all of his oxygen tanks and tubes everywhere, it was just a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, it's just you. Sometimes you do kind of forget the struggles you went through when your baby was so small, because obviously it does kind of get suppressed by all the amazing memories and the amazing milestones that happen as they start getting bigger. So they do fade slightly, but they're very much still there, aren't they? All those memories.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now I know that you talk about something called twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome.
Yeah.
So is that something that you're your twins had, and what would you mind just letting me know what it is? Because I know you've mentioned it before, like when I follow you on Instagram, but I don't really know what it is.
Yeah, so twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, I'm so passionate about it, spreading awareness for it. My goal one day is to write a book about it, but we'll see how far that goes. It is a disease of the placenta. So it affects around 10 to 15% of monochronic twins who share a placenta. We actually found out about the twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome at 6 weeks. The only reason we found out about the size difference is because I had a really bad reaction to metoclopramide because I had really bad hyperemesis.
So when you were 6 weeks pregnant, that's when you found out?
Yeah, so we didn't, it wasn't confirmed twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, but we had paid for an early scan because I had a dystonic reaction to metoclopramide, which caused my body to like go into spasm. And I was just desperate to know that the baby was okay. At this point, it was a baby. I wasn't aware there was twins. And we went for a scan, and that's when they said, you know, Teddy's heartbeat is a lot softer than Ronnie's, and, you know, we can't say that he will definitely be there by the 12-week scan. There is a size difference between them, but they sort of just, this was in the early pregnancy unit, they sort of just touched on twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, said it can get confirmed at 16 weeks, whether you have it or not. And if you do have it, you just need a little laser over your stomach. So in my head, I'm thinking they wave like a wand over your stomach and make some miracle happen.
yeah.
Like, I was really not prepared. My mum done a lot of research on it. I shut off from the world, you know, being told that your twins might not make it wasn't something I really wanted to hear. So I think it was 12 weeks we were put under a fetal medicine consultant. She was amazing. And she saw us 2 to 3 times a week throughout my whole pregnancy. She monitored us, and then, you know, things were bad throughout the pregnancy. We were that couple that would come out of a scan crying every scan. We would never, I think we came out once with a smile on our face. It was then at 16 weeks, you know, she gave us the look, really teary, and said, I need you to go to another hospital because I need a second opinion. And then that's when she referred us to another hospital. We were seen by them once a week for 4 weeks. We then got taken into a room, and the consultant said to us, you've got two options. You carry on this pregnancy and both babies could die, or you have the laser operation, put a sheet in front of me and said, these are the statistics. It is likely that they could both die too. And something just didn't sit right with me. I left, this was on a Thursday, and we had until the Monday to make the decision. I was heartbroken, and I rang my mum and I said, something doesn't seem right. I don't feel confident. And that's when she said, you need to get a second opinion. I'm telling you, I will pay whatever money I need to pay for you to get a second opinion. And I was just like a mad woman, researching, looking for the best fetal medicine consultant in the world. And then that's when I came across the angel, Professor Nicolaides. He's just amazing. So I managed to get an appointment with him through his secretary to see him on the Friday. We travelled up to London. I expected, you know, a little chat. But he said to me, if you want one of your twins to survive, I'm telling you, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you to let me do this surgery on you. So we didn't think about it. We knew he was the best in the world. So we just signed all the documents and agreed to what is called a laser ablation, where they go into your stomach with a huge, massive needle. They go through like I think he said something like 8 or 9 layers of muscle into your bump, through the amniotic sacs, down to the placenta, and they split the placenta in half, giving the bigger baby, which was Ronnie, chance of survival. They don't do it to save the smaller twin, which is really sad, and it's really hard to...
Oh, that's just to even try and make that decision, to try and digest that information so quickly. I just think you're incredible. Honestly, like, it actually makes me feel quite emotional, because when you're given that decision, or when you're given that option, it's just to try and make that decision. And obviously you want to do what's best for both your babies, right? And you want to do what's best for you. Yeah. So like you said, you decided to go ahead with it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't straightforward. You're laid on a bed, wide awake, with local anaesthetic on your stomach, which really doesn't even do anything at all. You've got a massive screen in front of you. Where they go in, they also have a laser, a light and a torch, a camera, sorry. So on the screen in front of you, your partner's sat behind you. You can see everything that's happening on the screen. When they go into the amniotic sac, it's like you're meeting your babies. You could see them in real view. It was out of this world. And then, you know, they go in and they've done the laser, and they quickly all rush around to get the scanner to make sure that, you know, there's 2 heartbeats. And there's actually a Netflix documentary about it, twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and Professor Nicolaides. The amount of people I've recommended it to, because not a lot of people understand the severity of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and not a lot of people really understand the procedure, and not a lot of people also understand the amount of twins that don't make it.
Like a really complex, like, it sounds like such a complex procedure.
It is,
And so in terms of, once you'd had that done, and then obviously the twins are here, so I guess everything worked in that sense, because you've got both your little boys here now.
It actually came back, though. The twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome came back at that 29+5. So that's why they had to deliver. She noticed that Teddy's bladder was becoming absent. The amniotic fluid wasn't right. So then they decided the twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome had come back, which it can happen, you know. The surgery isn't guaranteed to work. I mean, for us, we were lucky it worked until that point. It could have happened a lot sooner. So we were really, really fortunate that...
Oh, of course. Now, you know, it makes sense. So now it makes sense. So I guess that that helped you sustain your pregnancy, so both the little ones grew inside you, and then at that point it came back, and that's obviously when it was the case, okay, we need to deliver them now. So I guess then when you was suddenly whisked to the neonatal ward, was that because obviously they were very premature, and they have to be looked after anyway when they're born so small. And was it also because were they poorly afterwards, or especially the eldest one? I know you said that he was on oxygen for quite a long time. So how long were you, if you can remember, how long were you in the neonatal ward for?
So Ronnie spent a month and a half in Portsmouth, same as Teddy. Ronnie was discharged after the month and a half. Teddy, however, after a month and a half, he had to be transferred by ambulance to our local neonatal. And he also wasn't allowed to be discharged until he got to a certain weight, because he was really small. So Teddy actually spent altogether 3 months in neonatal units.
Wow, that's such a long time.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it never happened, but...
Yeah.
Talking about it and thinking about it, it was really difficult, especially when Ronnie was discharged home and then having Teddy in hospital. That was the hard part for me.
Yeah, trying to even just balance it, trying to look after one baby and then you've got another baby that's still poorly in hospital. Well, could you stay at the neonatal unit, or how did that work in terms of how much time you could spend there? Because I remember with when Cameo was in, when he was first born, it was really hard for me because I just had the emergency C-section that, like you had. I really struggled to stand, so I could only go and see him for short periods of time. They wouldn't let, you couldn't take like a wheelchair in, you couldn't take anything in to kind of help you, which completely, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
But I could only see him for short periods of time, and it was just quite surreal. And then when Cameo was a little bit older, he actually ended up back in a neonatal unit because he had really bad croup and it got really, really severe. They actually thought he had lymphoma at one point because of all the symptoms he was showing. So that's what we were originally told. And I remember just sitting by his cot and just thinking, because they gave us a room in the hospital, but I just couldn't, I couldn't leave him, and the nurse would say to me at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you need to go and get some sleep. And I was like, I can't leave him here by himself. Yeah. I just couldn't. It was so hard to know he was there and I couldn't be with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No. So hard. So how was that for you? How was that situation for you? Could you be with him all the time?
Yeah, so we were actually really fortunate. So at first, we were put in a room on the pediatric unit for children. It was only for a couple of days until a room on the neonatal ward came up. So Portsmouth neonatal unit is incredible. It is humongous. It has all of the most amazing technology, and it's just so spacious. So we were able to take wheelchairs in there. There was so much room. There was actually, I'm trying to count the rooms, I think there was about 4 or 6 rooms actually on the neonatal unit. They're given to parents who take priority. For us, you know, we were 70 odd miles away from home, so we were a priority. So we actually got to spend the whole month and a half living on the neonatal ward. We spent most of our time by their beds. At this point, we were allowed to be on the actual neonatal unit all day, every day, apart from around 2 hours, I think there is, that, you know, they have sort of quiet time.
Yeah.
Where they shut all the blinds and no one's allowed in at that time. You know, we spent a long time there. We got really, really friendly with all the staff. They became a family to us. In the middle
of
the night.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that you got to have that you got to actually be with him, you know, because you do miss out on so much otherwise, and you just want to be there, you know. You this is your new baby, you've just delivered him, you want to be there, don't you? You want to bond and you want to just, it's just a natural feeling that you just have to be there.
Johnson's Baby has partnered with Alder Hey Children's Charity to help keep families and their tiny babies close through their neonatal journey. The new surgical neonatal unit at Alder Hey will give babies and their families the best environment in which to thrive every step of the way.
You get friendly with parents as well, and some parents had other kids at home, so they couldn't spend. I remember a lady in there who had other kids at home. She was missing out on so much and it was making her so down. So we spoke to the staff. And she signed a form to say that I could go in once a day and take a picture of her little boy and send it to her. Just because, you know, there were certain times that she couldn't be there because she did have her other kids at home. So I just wanted to try and do something to help her out, to be like, here's your baby boy. He's doing fine. I've checked on him. Like, the nurses are being great, but here's a new picture, just, you know, to make you feel a little bit more close to him.
That's just, oh, that is actually just amazing. Because just imagine this poor mum at home who's has her baby in a hospital, but is trying to, has to then crack on at home with her other kids and try and make life as normal as possible. It's just, your heart breaks for people in that situation, I think, because you can't do right for doing wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you're just... So that's such a lovely thing. Those little things make such a difference, don't they? You know, just having those little pictures. They just, you know, and I think that's why, you know, we're being able to see your child when they're, I think at any age, if they're in hospital at any age, you just, you're their parent. You want to be there and look after them, don't you? And when they've just been born, you've been carrying them for 9 months. And it's like, well, hold on a second. You know, I have to, well, what's going on? I have to be here. You know, I'm not going anywhere. So did you manage to bond then with your little ones when they were first born? Because they were so poorly and they're obviously incubated and like you said, lots of wires and things going on. Did you manage to have any kind of skin-to-skin contact? How did that work?
So I really struggled. I was really scared of them when they were born, especially Teddy. And I know that sounds so ridiculous, but he was tiny. He was smaller than a Coke bottle. Like, you know, it was really, really difficult. I did find it really hard, you know, putting your arms through an incubator to touch your child. It's not a normal thing. The amount of wires that they both had in them, you know, they have like long lines in their belly buttons. They have, you know, breathing tubes. They have feeding tubes. It was just, it was a bit hard. And you know, I wasn't able, I think, so the first time I was able to hold Teddy was 5 days after he had been born. They were weighing him and they said, do you want me to pass him to you? So I've actually shared the video on my Instagram before because my husband filmed it. And you see my fingers, his tiny head's in my hand, the palm of my hand, and my fingers are sweating like, and I had never shared that because I was embarrassed of the sweat on my fingers because I was petrified. But one day I actually thought, why are you not sharing that? That is honest and that is real. Those were your emotions at the time. Share it. You were all about being honest. And that is how I felt. I was afraid to touch my own son. Like, he was 5 days old. I hadn't touched him. I'd, you know, put my hands in, but I hadn't had the closeness of him being on my chest. And I wouldn't change his nappy. I was petrified. It actually wasn't until the 23rd of September, 8 days after they were born, that I then got to touch and have Ronnie on my chest. You know, that was a little bit easier for me. He was a bit more, you know, chunkier than Ted, and I felt a little bit more confident with him. But still, it was horrific not being able to touch him for 8 days, like to have skin to skin with him. And then it wasn't until the 26th of September, which was 11 days after they were born, they finally got really united back together and I was able to hold them both at the same time. And we always made sure, me and my husband, when we held them, we made sure it was on our skin. I used to do a thing where they give you these tiny little muzzies, and I used to put one in their cot and I used to put one in my bra. And throughout the day, I would swap them. So they would always have my scent on them and I would always have their scent on me, which, because I also breast pumped and I found it really, really difficult to, a lot of people find it easier with breastfeeding because they have their baby there. Whereas I was having to sit in a room in a hospital most of the time and look at pictures of my twins to try and help me with my milk. So that was something I found really sad because, you know, in the middle of the night, I didn't feel comfortable enough walking onto the ward, you know, being loud with my clunky bags to pump by their cots. So I'd have to do it in the room. And I just, you know, bonding with your baby is so important. Like I said about the cesarean, you expect them to pick them up and pop them on your chest. And it's just that instant connection, isn't it?
So when you did get to hold your two little boys for that first time, how did it feel? And how did that impact you after that?
It was amazing. Even just thinking about it now, I've got goosebumps all over my body. It was like I wanted to cry with joy, having both of my babies on me for the first time. It was really overwhelming. It was something that I didn't know when it was going to happen. And the day it happened, I've got a video of it, and it was just so special to have them so close to me. You know, we carry our babies, and just to have them on me was just breathtaking.
Like you feel complete.
Yeah.
Like you feel complete and whole again.
Yeah, it was like, this is everything that I've been waiting for, and I've now got it, and I'm not going to hurt them. You know, the wires are there, but we work around them. The nurses help position them on you so you're secure and you're safe and the babies are safe. And, you know, they're in the same room if anything happens. And it wouldn't, but it was amazing. And, yeah, I've got the biggest smile on my face.
Now you're making me smile just listening
to
you.
Just thinking about that time, it was just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree, because with my... like I said, with my first one, I had an emergency C-section, and I didn't get, like you, exactly the same in the sense of I didn't get that immediate bonding. I couldn't hold him for, I think it was 2 days. I could change his nappy in while he was in the incubator, which is the, I mean, it's hard enough trying to change a nappy for the first time, yeah. Let alone you've got these two little holes and all these wires, and you don't have, and you're kind of being watched because obviously it's the nurse's job. And I'm like, I don't have a clue. I don't even know how to change a nappy, let alone doing it. I felt like I almost was blindfolded the way I had to try and do it, you know. And that, and when I had my second baby, I got to hold him immediately, and I love them both the same, obviously, but there was such a difference in those first couple of weeks of how I felt, because of that initial bonding. And you want to make it work so much, and you want to do all these things that you can. But for me, I just felt like I was missing something originally, because I didn't even know if it was how I felt or if I was expected. It's almost like, well, I should have had skin to skin contacts, and I should have been doing this, and I should have been doing that. And it's all been taken away from me, and I've had no control. And I felt a bit bitter, if I'm a bit honest.
No, I was the same, exactly the same. I don't know how to say it in the nicest way possible. You sort of not resent people for having a normal birth, but, you know, your friends and family members that get to have a straightforward pregnancy and birth and get the bonding straight away. I just sort of sometimes felt like I was a failure as a mum.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's not the case at all. You know, you when you have a poorly baby, or if you have a premature baby, you know, or if you have any baby, you're doing an amazing job. It's just sometimes we have this ideal world, don't we, of how we want things to be, and they don't go that way. But it doesn't mean that we're a failure in any way, shape or form. Like, absolutely superheroes as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely. Agree with that.
So in terms of having a premature baby then, or even having a baby that's born poorly and has to go to a neonatal unit, what would your advice be for parents who are going through this now, or are currently pregnant and have been told that they might have a premature baby? What's your advice for them?
So one thing I would definitely say is having a premature baby makes you stronger as a person, definitely. Like, going through the neonatal experience really brought me and my husband and my children together as a family, you know. I saw things in neonatal I will never forget, and, you know, You just need to remember that you and your babies are so strong and so brave, and just how far you've come. You know, neonatal is one of the last hurdles, and there is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And the best piece of advice is you can't be too hard on yourself. And if you do need to take time out from neonatal, do it. No one will judge you from taking time out for you. You know, the noises in neonatal will not last forever. And it is something that will stay with you, but you are stronger than you think.
So yeah, with the sounds, I totally understand what you mean. It's like that beeping, isn't it? Like, I always say to my husband now, when the dishwasher goes off, it's like that constant beeping that you just remember. It kind of takes you back. I remember if Cameo moved, or he moved, he was so fidgety, if he moved an arm, that beeping would go off. And I think that kind of stays with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, like you said, it could literally be down to them just moving the probe on their foot, but the beep of the machine setting off was something that definitely stayed with me. You know, and I think sometimes people who have to go through neonatal forget just how strong them and their babies are.
Exactly. And that they are, it doesn't seem like it at the time, but they are in the best place. And, you know, you're doing everything that you can at that moment in time. And it's so hard at the time to not feel guilty, to not feel like you should be, because I felt like I should be next to Cameo 24/7. I felt like I felt like I couldn't eat. I felt like I couldn't go and have a rest. They kept saying, go and have a cup of tea. And I was like, how can I go and drink a cup of tea right now? Like, I just felt bad every time I tried to do something. But, you know, that's okay. You have to look after yourself as well. You know, you also have to survive, and you also have to get through this. And ultimately, you know, everyone's in the best place, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like you said about not feeling like you could eat and stuff, that's something we made sure we did. You know, when it was lunchtime, we made sure we got a lunch. When it was dinner time, we made sure we got a dinner. And we also made sure as a couple, we got time away together. I'm not going to lie, we spent pretty much all of our time by those boys' sides. But, you know, even if it was popping to a shop to get them nappies, it was quality time that we were spending together, which I find is, you know, it's really, really important. I think even if someone's in neonatal a day or a year, everyone's journey is different, but they still have that neonatal experience. And I do think in time, it's something you do have to remember. It is a difficult time, but there are brighter days ahead.
So what's your advice now for parents who might be going through this or have a chance of having a premature baby? What's your, based on your experience, what would you say to them now?
I think, as you will know, as a mum, always trust your mother's instinct. If you feel something isn't right, then get a second opinion. You know, I felt it was my responsibility as a mother to gain a second opinion for my boys, and I feel like I've definitely done the right thing.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I think, like you said, that mother's instinct, even if you don't realise it, you know, it's there, and you're completely within your rights to question anything, whether that's while you're pregnant, once you've had the baby, anything like that, you're totally within your rights to question things, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like you just said, if, you know, if you're at a scan or an appointment and you want to take notes, and ask questions. Always, you can never ask too many questions. It's, you know, your child and your health at the end of the day. So you need to be 100% happy with everything that you're receiving.
Exactly. And how are your twins now? How are they? Like I said, I follow you on Instagram, and I've seen how they've grown over kind of lockdown and stuff. And so how are they getting on now?
They're good. They are full of beans. It's really funny because they've got completely opposite personalities. Ronnie, the bigger and younger twin, he's really chilled out. You know, he could just sit and watch some telly or do some drawing. Whereas Teddy, the smaller twin, but the older twin, is 100 miles an hour. He always wants to be on top of Ronnie. He wants rough and tumble. He wants to be running around the house, causing mayhem. Like, yeah, it's so funny how different they are. But it's mad. Me and my husband said the other day, like, seeing them talking, they were doing their alphabet the other day and their numbers, which they've been learning at nursery. I never thought I would see these days. Like, just seeing them walking around is just amazing to me. And I'm thinking, they're four this year. How have we gone from a 2 pound and a 1 pound baby to these little toddlers walking and talking? It's mad.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's
actually amazing, you know, because like you said, these tiny little beans that you could kind of hold in your hand, and now they're going at 100 miles an hour. I think it's incredible. You've done an amazing job. You know, you've gone through so much, and they are just absolutely incredible. So well done for everything you've achieved, because they are just absolutely stunning little boys, and you've done an amazing job.
Thank you so much.
But thank you so much for coming on. And I know it's a real quite an emotional roller coaster when we talk about things like this, because it does bring everything back. So thank you so much for talking to us about your experience.
No, thank you for having me.
And where can people find out more about you and the lovely Teddy and Ronnie?
So I've got an Instagram page which I document our journey on, which is Teddy and Ronnie _ twins. So if they want to come over and follow our journey, that'd be amazing.
Well, I highly recommend it, because I do, because they're the cutest little boys. They really are absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
But thank you so much, Danielle. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure I'll catch up with you soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast is in association with Johnson's Baby, who has partnered with Alder Hey Children's Charity to build a new neonatal facility to ensure parents remain with their babies every step of the way.